This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In the meantime, though, let's bring on our guest, Mike Meltzer of Mad Dog Radio on Sirius XM out in Houston, where the Golden State Warriors are going to be taking on the Houston Rockets today. 4:30 tip right here on 95.7 The Game. Warriors live at 3:30 with Willard and Dibs. Mike, good morning. How are we feeling out there in Houston? Down 3-1, but Shasky and I were talking about it. Like, not all 3-1s are built the same. Like, the 3-1, you know, the Boston Celtics had over the, you know, Orlando Magic is not the same as this 3-1 that the Warriors now lead over the Houston Rockets. It's been a very tight series. It just comes down to, you know, crunch time, and the Warriors, you know, they have Jimmy Butler, they have Steph, they have Draymond, and I think the experience factor has shown up huge. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, guys. I think you're on it. I think a lot of people here are kind of like, oh God, this again. We've done this four times with different players and coaches, and now the new guys have to suffer against Steph and Draymond and Steve Kerr and all these types. But you're exactly right. These 3-1 leads are built differently. In terms of, do you have game 7? Do you have game 5 at home? If so, you can win a game, put all the pressure on Golden State. Then if you somehow miraculously win game 6, then you've got game 7 back at your place. So given that, you know, I don't think Jimmy Butler is that close to 100%. The games have been close. The Rockets are favored tonight, I saw, by, you know, 3.5, 4 points. I think there's optimism here that they could send this back to the Bay Area. I don't think there's a ton of optimism the Rockets can actually realistically win this series.
Mike Meltzer joining us on the River Islands Guest Line. As all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line, isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands and Lathrop? So let me just ask a simple question, Mike. Why are the Rockets down 3-1 right now?
Because they don't have the experience, the star power, and their players are just, and their offense isn't very good. I think it's really that simple. I think the Warriors have had the coaching edge, but that's not really the biggest deal. The Rockets don't have Steph Curry, who is a top 10, 12, whatever, all-time player. They don't have Jimmy Butler, who's been a proven clutch playoff performer. One really good Jalen Green game in game 2. That's the game they won. That's not a coincidence. Other than that, his production has been fairly pitiful in games 1, 3, and 4. Şengün has been good. Fred VanVleet's been very up and down. I think the problem for the Rockets offensively, part of it is both Jalen and Fred VanVleet are shooting under 40% from the floor, which is problematic in this series. So between you guys have the two best players in the series, and the Rockets are very inexperienced, first playoffs for a lot of these guys, and they can't score consistently. That's why they're down 3-1.
That's really well said. Are they going to ride with Jalen Green and trying to make him a focal point? Because it felt like he got iced out completely at the end of that game the other day. I would have went to Şengün to end that game the way they did. I mean, it's a 1-point game, 13 seconds. I love the timeout. Let's get a good set here. Let's get a good play. Draymond's got 5 fouls. Attack him. Worst case scenario, they double. He can kick it out to Fred VanVleet. Were you surprised that Jalen Green felt like he kind of got phased out at the end?
I was surprised by a factor of like 0.1%, because guys, and I'm glad you said that you like to play for Şengün, because I felt the same way. And then the internet's exploding over, and I'm like, I don't know. I've been watching this team all year. I don't know how many great options you have on the road, you know, down by 2 points at a place like that against Steph Curry, Jimmy Butler, and Draymond Green. But watching the Rockets all year, one of the things that's unique about Ime Udoka is he truly rode the hot hands in the fourth quarters of a lot of granted regular season games, but he would bench Jalen. He would not necessarily ride Şengün. You know, he'd ride all sorts of different lineups based on who was playing well, who was playing hard. And as we all know, if you watch the NBA playoffs the last, I don't know, 30, 50 years, that's not really the way that this goes. But for this team, because the Rockets have options, I'm not surprised that in a game where, you know, Jalen Green was 3 for 8 and 1 of 5 from three and not giving them a whole lot and a minus 11 in a plus minus, that Ime went in a different direction down the stretch in the fourth quarter. I wasn't surprised by Gunnar Sengun, because the way I was thinking about it, guys, this morning is, I don't know that Sengun is their most talented offensive player, but I would say he is their most naturally instinctive offensive player, in that he can score, he's got really good footwork, he can score at the rim or just within the paint, and he's a really good passer. And while Draymond's a really tough matchup, as we all know, a Hall of Famer, but I don't know, just looking at the Rockets lineup, like, where else you go for a basket unless it's off something? And I think the hub of the spoke, or whatever the phrase is in cars, it's got to be Alperen Sengun. I don't think it was a terrible look. It just didn't go down.
Talking to Mike Meltzer here, Mad Dog Radio on Sirius XM in Houston. I guess my only thing would be, and we were talking about that yesterday from the Houston Rockets perspective, that Fred VanVleet was so hot in that game. And we've seen him in the past. That 2019 NBA Finals, I mean, Reggie Miller, for Christ's sake, brought it up like 50 times.
6 years ago.
I know. But Warriors fans still think about it. The shots that were made in that series, the biggest shots were from Fred VanVleet.
I know.
He was a killer. Like, you can make the argument, I know Kawhi won it, he was the best player, but the biggest shots were because of Fred VanVleet in that series. So that was the guy I was fearing late in that game. But again, to your point, Mike, he's 6 feet tall. Can he create his own shot if, like, they're doubling? Like, I hear you on there. And Sengun, he can rise over and shoot over anyone. But again, didn't go down. It is what it is. I think Warriors fans are so afraid of that. He thought it was going in.
I dropped it. It looked like it was for a second, wasn't it, with the angle on TV?
Exactly. Right. Hey, you had said something, Mike, to me. I did a hit with you on Saturday on Mad Dog Radio Show. And you had said something to me almost like flippantly, like, you know, like, Houston, Steph's one of the biggest villains in Houston sports history. That's kind of crazy to me. Is that more an indication of how bleak it's been in Houston, or just because of the greatness of Steph Curry? Because I don't think we necessarily think of Steph as like, oh, he is hated in Houston. Like, that's not what I view. I know in Cleveland, but give me the Houston perspective on Steph.
So here's the perspective. I'm intrigued, Joe, that surprised you, in the sense of, like, I'd have to think of other Houston sports zones. I've been here for 15 years, not like, wow, you know, 35 or anything like that. But in just thinking about, you know, Astros history, you know, Texans, Oilers, and like the Steelers would be a big rival. But the way I look at it is this. For the Rockets, they've won 2 titles, obviously in the mid-90s, with Hakeem and then Clyde and everybody else. But since then, how many truly championship level teams have they had? I would argue, now people would tell you that the team with Yao and Ron Artest could have won in 2009, but then Yao got hurt. I think that's a bit of a stretch. Their best team of the last, I would say, 25 to 30 years was the 2018 with James Harden and Chris Paul. Like, that was the best team that they have had during this entire time. And I'm talking decades. I think it's a team that, if you just, like, implanted that team in a lot of other NBA seasons, i.e. when the Warriors didn't have Kevin freaking Durant on their team, I think that team would have won a lot of different NBA titles. But they didn't win that one. And I think when Chris Paul got hurt, they lost Game 6, they lost Game 7. I was at that Game 7. I think that really was a soul-crushing kind of defeat. And I thought Curry the next year in 19, now the Rockets obviously weren't as good, but they still played the team that they had to and wanted to play in the semis in Golden State. And like that last game, Curry, when he scored none in the first half and a million in the second half, I thought that was like, I thought he took the soul of the franchise on that night. And within what, a year and a half, almost everybody was gone. Mike D'Antoni, Chris Paul, and then a few months later, James Harden. So the way I put it, like, I don't know that if people nationally have this appreciation. I tend to think they do. Steph Curry might be, like, a really nice guy, and he seems that way, and a great character, all of it. Like, that dude, as a professional athlete, he is a stone-cold killer, which is why when we had the Olympics this summer, it was actually nice for me to be in a situation where, like, I can actually root for this guy, and all these great things that he does is actually, like, for my rooting benefit. But, yeah, because that was one of the best Houston sports teams, I think, ever. And it would have been so meaningful for James to get his title and Chris and Mike D'Antoni, for the Warriors to beat that team and then end that run a year later. I think he is one of Houston's biggest sports villains ever.
It's great. Well said.
Talking to Mike Meltzer here, Mad Dog Radio on Sirius XM in Houston. Guys tapped in on all things Houston sports. Warriors Rockets game 5 tonight down in H-Town. Coverage of that starts at 3:30 right here on 95.7 The Game with Warriors Live. Tip off at 4:30. Thank God it's a 4:30 start and doesn't end 10 o'clock West Coast time like last game. We were struggling in the morning there, but it was a good win. So we were happy about it, Mike. You said all those things about Stephen Curry. Now let me ask you about Draymond Green. How's the temperature about with that guy with the Houston sports fans?
Man, I would say if Draymond was crossing the street and there was like a car about to like hit him, I don't know how many people would be rushing to basically push him out of the way. It's the way that I would put it, and that's not deadly serious, but that I think would kind of hit the temperature of where Rockets fans are. And I would say myself, like, I'm in a weird position. I mentioned this to Joe when I had him on my show on Saturday. I am appreciative that I have seen so many of these Rockets Warriors playoff games, because I really think a lot of people naturally, when they think of the idea about Draymond being a Hall of Famer, are like, are you crazy? This guy scores like 5 points a game. But if you, and I really wonder like how many people are actually watching these games. I know they are in these playoffs, thankfully, but if you really watch what Draymond brings to the Warriors, how invaluable all of that is, I don't know that you can overstate it. He was a plus 17 in the 31 minutes the other night because of the foul trouble. Like, what he does as an agitator, and defensively, I think he's one of the great players in NBA history, especially at his size. But when you're in a position like in Houston rooting against them, there are many moments when you're watching his games where you're like, God, I want someone to punch this dude in the face because he is just such an irritant. So I would say, like, with Curry, there is going to be that obvious, like, grudging high respect because everyone knows how great he is. With Draymond, I think you probably have a lot more Rockets fans, guys, that absolutely hate his guts.
Yeah, well, that's not exclusive to Rockets fans. There's a lot of teams that hate his guts.
Well, there's a lot of Warriors fans.
They're
there,
not
so
alone.
Yeah, you know, so obviously who's going to win tonight and how does this play out and all that? Like, I understand that aspect. I'm more curious in the psyche of the Rocket fan. Like, what's the adjustments they're losing their minds on? Like, for example, with the Warrior fan base, it's always the lineups, Kuminga, you know, the non-Curry minutes and you should have played this guy more and this guy less. And, you know, Pajemski, like there are certain trigger points online that just create these crazy conversations. What are Rockets fans arguing about right now as the adjustment that could be made to win tonight's game?
Great question. I've seen a lot of different things after the other night. I think a lot of people were surprised, and I was too, how quickly Ime Udoka took Steven Adams out of the game when Kerr employed that hack a blank strategy. I thought he was too quick. He should have made the Warriors get into the bonus. And honestly, like, I don't see the harm in that situation of why not put him at the free throw line, I don't know, at least once, just to kind of see what's going to happen. I know he is below 50%, but it's like if he hits one, then you're surviving, right, based on like the net efficiency and all of it. So I thought he took Adams out of the game too quickly. So people are talking about that. People are talking about a potential starting lineup change. Remember, Ime, after the game on Monday, said he was not closing the door or had the door open to a lineup change. So I do wonder, do the Rockets, because they've been so efficient in this series with the lineups with Şengün, Jabari Smith, and Steven Adams, like, does he change the starting lineup and just go with the big lineup immediately to impose that sort of edge against Golden State? Because Jalen Green has struggled, you know, you have people wondering, like, is Ime going to play Cam Whitmore? Is he going to play Aaron Holiday? He's not going to play Reed Shepard. Personally, I'm fine. Lineup change I can live with because ultimately, like, it's not like Steven Adams is going to play 38 minutes tonight. That's not realistic. I'm less big on this idea of here's a brilliant idea in the middle of a series like this. Let's bring in Cam Whitmore or Aaron Holiday. Holiday, I could see more because he's a veteran. Cam Whitmore, like, how often in the NBA playoffs, for God's sake, do we see a team go to a guy like that? And Cam is a super talented guy. But, like, he hasn't played in this series. He's just going to throw him out there in an elimination game, in a game 5. I think that's not a very realistic thing. Their best guys have to play better. You know, they're playing 8 guys. They're relatively deep. I think people here are wondering about did they do a lineup change? Is there too much on Jalen because he's so up and down? But some of these calls, as you guys have on your side with the Kuminga thing, which I know has been an all-season thing and probably even longer, like, I just struggle with this idea of, like, hey, let's bring in Cam Whitmore or Aaron Holiday, and that's going to swing the series against the Golden State Warriors. That almost never happens.
Yeah, Cam Whitmore's the key to this entire series. Would be, this is a hilarious thing to think about.
We need Mickey Santos.
Right. Hey, yeah. Mike, great stuff, man. Great. We really appreciate your time this morning. Good luck the rest of the way, and we'll catch up again soon.
This was great. Thank you, guys.
Have there a good one,
that's
Mike.
Mike Meltzer, Mad Dog Radio on SiriusXM out in Houston. He is tapped in on all things Houston sports. As you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HG1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live in the free Odyssey app, and now broadcasting live from the Laughing Monk Studios. And as you know, Joe Shasky, it is a Warriors Wednesday brought to you by Freedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freedman's Appliance Pleasant Hill today.
There's like two or three things that I do want to react to. The first one, it is funny to me how fan bases kind of like obsess over these little tiny tweaks that, yeah, it's a nice wrinkle idea right. for a couple of minutes, but it's not swinging the series.
Right.
Right. Like, how many calls have we received? Like, you got to play TJD. And I have suggested a couple of minutes of TJD. I think it's been pretty reasonable. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes. But it's funny because we overthink it.
Yes.
We always overthink everything as fans. It's like, it's not that difficult. If your stars play
Whitmore.
Well. Yeah. Right. Cam Whitmore, like Scam Whitmore.
Reed,
come on.
How many of us in the Bay Area media were like, Reed Shepard could be the one.
Stop. Like, stop.
He, like laughed at the idea.
If this game is coming down to Cam Whitmore, you're screwed if you're the Houston Rockets. If this game's coming down, and I want the guy to Guy Santos, you're screwed.
Exactly.
Like, it's not that, like, serious, guys. Jimmy Butler, Stephen Curry, Draymond Green, they're going to set the tone. On the opposite end, it's going to be Şengün. It's going to be
Jalen.
Jalen,
what are you gonna get from Jalen? I think he's a wild card.
I'm thinking Dylan Brooks.
Yes,
you gotta continue to get that.
And Fred VanVleet.
There yes. you go. You're gonna lean on those guys, the veterans, right? Yeah. If you will. That's what you're gonna do.
He said another thing there that was another interesting. Like, hey, they took Steven Adams off maybe a little too premature. Now, I actually agree with him on this. It's not just if you hit one of two, you're actually your efficiency rating based on percentages and all that is better. They actually have a better chance of securing a rebound in a missed situation than maybe any other team in the league.
Well, that was why it was a good point. And I think Tom Tolbert said this on the broadcast here on 95.7 The Game. Like, if Steve Kerr, I think Tim Roy asked him the question, was like, hey, do you foul here up three? He's like, well, if you put them on the line and they make one and then miss one on purpose, Steven Adams might get that rebound. Like, and then put it right back.
It's a really good point. Like, and earlier in this series, he missed a free throw. After making one, yep. they got it back, and then boom, hit yep. a three.
Exactly.
And it was a 4-point possession.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it actually can happen. And then the last thing that he brought up, which I thought was extremely fascinating, you know, the Rockets, we laugh at them now, but he is right. That team probably would have won a championship in a lot of other years.
Yeah.
I don't know how many.
I don't know if they beat the Cavs, it'd be a good series, but yeah, like they were so damn good. Like that whole style was awesome to watch.
Who's to say they don't, like, that exact team at that age plays in this last year finals. Maybe they beat Dallas, like, hypothetically, in this scenario. Maybe they beat the 2022 Warriors.
Right. No, it's a good point.
Right? Like, there's a lot of teams that I think have won championships or at least played for the finals, and that Rocket team has an argument to say, like, yeah, we were as good. We ran into a buzzsaw in the wrong year.
I liken the Houston Rockets, like, since the year 2000, the Rockets and the Suns are almost like kindred spirits of having really good teams at times.
Ball.
And I think the Rockets haven't reached a final since 2000, but the Suns obviously did with Chris Paul and Devin Booker a few years back when they lost to the Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis Antetokounmpo. But, like, they have such good teams, and they just can't get over that hump, whether it was the Giannis, whether it was Steph, whether it was Kobe and the Lakers, as you alluded to, the Yao Ming year with Ron Artest, right? They've had really good teams. They just haven't been able to get over that. Tracy McGrady, right? Yeah. God, he was so damn good. Jeff Van Gundy, when he's that coach over there.
There are certain teams in sports that, like, when they fall and they lose, and you are in your mind, you know that team would have won a championship had this not happened.
Right.
For example, for me, the 1993 Giants. In my mind, I know that team would have won a World Series had the Atlanta Braves just lost a couple of games. Okay.
Yeah.
And I will forever hate the Atlanta Braves because of the 1993 season for the rest of my life. And the Fred McGriff trade. Like, it's just etched in my head. The Niners had Eli Manning and the New York Giants not won that game in 2011. I'm convinced the Niners win the Super Bowl
over the Patriots.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That was the best team they had. That was their defense was, it wasn't elite. It was one of the all-time great defenses.
I'm having a very hard time thinking Alex Smith is beating Tom Brady in Super Bowl.
I hear you.
But then I remember Eli Manning and Nick Foles did it. So you know what?
With Mario Manningham.
I know. So.
With Mario Manningham. And I think we forget how great, not good, great that Niner defense was. And so there are certain teams in your head that like, no, that team would have been it would have been a champion and would have won it in almost any other year had they not run into this buzzsaw. Steph's that buzzsaw for how many cities?